Well, good morning, everyone. If you would stand, we're going to start with the song we just heard. He Lives. What's the page number on that? 150. That's what I get for changing my own plans. He Lives, 150, and then we'll go to page 145.
I serve the risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus is today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know.
I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of wanting things above, of Jesus and His glory.
What's gone on just since last Sunday night when we dismissed. We've been to Georgia and back, and it's always good to be back, be home. Somebody, you know, they ask, how was your trip? Well, the trip, who cares if the trip's terrible, but the visit was great. We loved the visit. And it's good to be home. It's good to look around the room here this morning and see visitors in our midst. We welcome you to the services here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Trust that we'll be a blessing to you indeed. We're here for what reason? To give glory and honor to our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For His glory, for His honor. So trust that everything that goes on, every word, every prayer, our giving, every aspect of the services would give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, let's take a couple minutes. Welcome each other. Please get around and welcome our visitors.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Okay, if you would make your way back to your seats, let's turn to 141. 141, we're still going to have our Christmas celebration this afternoon. So I'm still in Christmas mode. It came upon a midnight clear.
It came upon a midnight clear.
He's having some kind of a spell there. He felt, when he stood, he felt very dizzy and shaky. And so the EMTs are going to come and check him out in the foyer. But let's stop and just pray for him right now. Father, we bow before you, and I'm thankful that the throne of grace is available to us at any time and anywhere. Thankful that we can come to you on behalf of our brother. Please, Lord, do for him. I don't know what's going on, but I pray that your mercy would certainly be there for him, and compassion, and that you'd be pleased to do for him right now, Father. Strengthen him, help him, calm his body, and give wisdom to those who will come in a moment to check him out. And Lord, again, thank you. Thank you for Jesus and all that he is to us. In Jesus' name, and for his glory and for Alan's good, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please remain seated. Let's turn to our page number. 210, please. Oh, how he loves you and me.
With Brother Alan. If you have your bulletin, please take note of some things going on today. We invite everybody to stay after the service this morning. We're having dinner on the grounds. And we're grateful for the ladies that are in the back right now getting that prepared for us. I know you probably don't like brisket, but please stick around anyway and enjoy some brisket. And if anybody raises their hand, you know, that's right, I hate brisket, then shame on you. Men can take their place and be preparing to receive our offering. You see, I'm spoiled. I normally have to do this part. But please do stay back. You got to eat somewhere, so you might as well eat here with us. I know there'll be loads of food back there. Just a couple Christmas parties left. Sunday, December 30th, the youth class. And you see the details about that, a $10 limit for the gifts. No children's church today. We can see some kids in here with us, and that's good, too. The office will be closed tomorrow and, of course, New Year's Day. Be mindful as we get into the new year. The Hope Ministry will be picking up. And, in fact, about the third week of January, Brother Art Thomas will be coming and doing some of the specific training for our folks that are going to be involved in that ministry. So please be in prayer about all that. He'll be preaching for us on Wednesday evening, I think it's the 23rd, and then be teaching our Hope, the folks that will be involved in the Hope Ministry on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Other things, the Texas Theological University has a course coming up. Brother Hudson will be teaching that. The third section of the historical books, he'll be finishing that up. And please pray about that. That is right now kind of a tentative class. He's going to have a heart procedure on the 4th, and so we'll just see how that all comes together. We may be adjusting the time for that class. But please, all of you that are interested in that course, some of you have taken the first two parts of that, and you'll want to be involved in the last. Ladies' Brunch, January 7th, 9:30 a.m. down at Ginger Brown. Seemed like everybody enjoyed the breakfast there the last time around, so we're going to continue there at Ginger Brown's. Again, please be in prayer for Brother Allen. Don't know what's going on there with him. Of course, he's had some heart issues in the past, so we trust that nothing serious going on there. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our offering. Father, we thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you for your goodness and grace. Once again, Father, we want to hold up our brother to you, ask you to do for him and give the EMTs wisdom as they check him out. Pray, Father, that you just help our dear brother. Bless the offering today. So, praying, Father, that you'd help us to get focused upon what you'll be doing in our midst today. We love you. We thank you for you, for our Savior. We thank you for your word today. Lord, again, so good to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you as you give. Amen. Thank you, ladies. I know some of the ladies are off in different places this morning that are normally in the ensemble. You can be turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And earlier this year, we looked at this passage, but we're going to look at just the last verse of what we'll be reading today from a bit of a different perspective than we did the last time. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9, when you found your place there, please stand, reverence to God's Word, the good Word of God. Luke chapter 9, and beginning to read in verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, certain man said unto him," speaking of Jesus, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Verse 62, as we'll focus on this verse this morning. "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Father, once again, we bow before you, thanking you this morning for your goodness to us, thanking you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, asking you in his name that you'd focus our attention. Certainly, Father, I pray that you'd help the preacher this morning be able to settle in on exactly what you would want for these dear folk today. Pray, Father, that your word would be opened to us by your Spirit, that you would direct in everything that is said and everything that you would not want said. Pray indeed that as we would hear from you today, we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you again for these dear ones. Pray your blessing on each one, each life, each home. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. It's really hard to believe. And I know it's an old man that says things like this. It's hard to believe we've come to the end of another year already. I guess we could look at it from a different perspective. You know, the other old saying that time flies when you're having fun. And time has surely flown in 2018. We come to the end of every year, and I don't know about you, but there's probably some things that we think about, consider. Possibly we remember all the neat stuff, the good stuff that took place over the last 12 months. But also the other side of that, we may be haunted by some things that took place, maybe some bad decisions we made or bad experience that took place in our life during those days. And of course, for all of us, it's probably a mixed bag, wouldn't you say? A little of this and a little of that, some good, some bad. But if we're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can receive it all for His glory, for His honor, knowing what? That He works all things together for good. Now, I really appreciated and enjoyed the church theme over the last year. It's probably been one of my favorites. Following Jesus. Following Jesus. Wealth of Scripture in the New Testament, the Gospels, and throughout the New Testament, really, that encourages, challenges, instruct us in following Christ. How we follow Him. Certainly, why we follow him. And my daily prayer is indeed that I would be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, following Christ faithfully, to carefully follow Jesus. We've got to keep our eyes on him, do we not? Keep our eyes securely focused on him. And that's what I want to do today. I want to draw our focus on this 62nd verse, which reminds us that we should what? Not look back. Don't look back. The Christian life is about what? Pressing forward. Going on. Paul reminds us of that in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3. And I know you're familiar with these verses where Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Yes, sir.
Pressing toward the mark. Don't look back. Well, we want to look at a few things along that subject line this morning. And I was sharing with my Sunday school class that driving home yesterday from Georgia, we got to a certain place, as we always do, and Marcia drove for me for a while. Well, yesterday, our granddaughter Jordan joined her in the front of the van, and I set up my office. I set up my study in the back seat. I mean, I had a place for my Bible and the computer and all, everything was all, and I studied for about 3 or 4 hours. And got up this morning and looked at it, and I thought, no, that's not what the Lord wants. in my flesh, I'm thinking, Lord, you could have showed me what you wanted the day yesterday, but he didn't see fit to do that till this morning. And so today's message is the same passage of Scripture that he showed me earlier in the week, but we're looking at it in a different way. Don't look back, as we just read. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God."
Amen.
There's certainly always some things that we remember, some right things, some good things that we remember. I can stand here this morning and tell you that the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was in December 1974, when the Lord saved me. When the Lord saved me and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. We rejoice. We rejoice in those daily blessings that he's given us all along the way. But the Lord gives us in this verse a pretty stern warning, does he not? To not look back. Now, there's a danger involved here, and we'll look at that a little bit as we go along. There's a danger in allowing things of the old life to distract us today, to distract us from the course that the Lord has us on today, to distract us from following him, following Jesus. Once saved, the warning is never to look back with a longing eye, is the key, with a longing eye for the things of the old life. Plowing. We want to see from the human side of things, what do we see when we look behind us? When we look behind us in reality, we see the failures of the old life, do we not? We see the issues of that old life that the Lord saved us from. And so indeed, we want to press forward. And this morning, I want us to consider the Lord Jesus' warning here. What happens if the farmer looks back when he's plowing? What happens when you look back when you're plowing? Now, I know this is Fort Worth, Texas. And it's an interesting thing about Fort Worth. You can be driving around in different parts of town, and there'll be an opening, and you know, there'll be some grass and a field, and sure enough, somebody's got it fenced off, and there's some horses, maybe a few longhorns grazing in there. You don't have to leave the city limits to see that. Kind of a nice thing about Fort Worth. But I'm just a country boy, and there's some things I remember about those days. When you look back, when you're plowing, it's easy to get off course. To get off course. It's important as you cut the earth for that first furrow, that you keep your eye fixed upon a point across the field. Across the field. Focused on that point at the far end of the field. You can't watch the ground that's right around the tractor. You can't watch behind you. Or when you get to the other end of the field and turn around, what will you have? Well, as my mother used to say, it looked like a drunken sailor plowed that furrow. I don't know what all that means. Once you get that first furrow straight and true, you can follow it to plow the rest of the field. To plow the rest of the field correctly. Now, I was telling someone recently, you know, you've heard me say this, and I read it, and I wish I could forget it. But they say that young men dream dreams and old men tell stories. Now, I was telling someone the other day about when I was a child, and I'd follow behind my father as he plowed. I'd walk in the furrow behind my father as he plowed. Now, my dad, he was a farmer from a child, and he took great pleasure in doing a good job, even as he plowed his fields. And I'm remembering, beloved, I'm remembering from something that happened nearly 60 years ago when this front row wasn't even a... Well, their mother wasn't even a twinkle in their mother's eyes. You know, it was a long time ago. And I'd walk behind my daddy when I was only about 5 or 6 years old, and I'd be walking down in that furrow, and he's trying to keep his eye where? On the other end of the field. He's trying to keep the tractor straight. And that moist soil as it's turned over, and I'd reach down in there, and there's a little bit of clay to that soil, and being the little snot that I was, that I'd wad up an old dirt clod, and I'd wing it at him. And about 1 out of 20, I'd actually hit him. And he'd turn around, and he'd like, he's fussing with me. Of course, he knew what was going on. He saw them going past him. He'd turn around and look at me like he was all mad and everything, but oh my, memories, huh? He took great pleasure in plowing that field just right. The equipment that my father, remember, Mal, it says 60 years ago, and the equipment my daddy had was probably 50 years old then. I mean, it was old stuff. He was a little old dirt farmer, And plowing with that old equipment was hard work. Wasn't like plowing with a horse, but it was hard work. And every time he'd enter the field, he'd have to reach back on them levers and lower the plows down into the ground. And as he'd get to the other end of the field, he'd have to reach back again and pull them up and get it. I mean, it was had leverage, but it was still heavy. He'd get the tractor turned around and the wheel back down in the furrow, and he'd have to drop it back down in the ground. Plowing was hard work. Was hard work. He had to raise those plows up and down and all day long as he'd work the field. But that tractor and the set of plows that he pulled were designed that as he had that wheel the back wheel of the tractor down in the furrow, that plow would turn the soil over just right, right along, and lay out a few more fresh furrows. Oh my. Doing a good job in opening up the field with the plow made the whole rest of the process of putting in his crop all that much easier. Oh my, just plowing wasn't the end of it. He'd go back to the barn, put the plow away, and he'd hook up his discs, and he'd come back up, and he'd disc that field, and then if need be, he'd run the harrow over it, and then, oh my, then he'd be ready to go back and get the planter, either the corn planter or the drain grill, and put that crop in. But it all started with doing a good job with the plow. With the plow. Well, the work is hindered if you look back. And we'll look about a little bit more in a moment. If you look back, the work will be hurt. You might just get the wheel out of the furrow. And then if you get the wheel out of the furrow, then things will get cattywampus. And then you're turning around and you find out you've made a mess. And there's only one thing to do. You've got to lift the plow, go back, and set it back in. But it's interesting. You can go back and you can set the plow back in and straighten things up. But guess what? Things aren't quite the same. The furrows aren't quite the same as it would have been if you'd have done it right and stayed on course from the very beginning. Right. Looking back, while you're plowing can also bring disaster. It can bring disaster. Farming is dangerous work, and farm equipment is dangerous equipment. There's always accidents on farms every year. And if you're breaking a field for the first time, the grass may be high and you can't see everything readily, and especially if you're not watching forward. Could be something there in the grass that could turn or twist the tractor. I remember in our family, my dad and mom's family, there was farmers on both sides of the clan, and my one uncle, he had a big farm, wasn't too far from ours, and in his house he had a couple sons, but he also had a daughter, and the girls had to get out and work just like the guys. And she was one day on the tractor and working across the field, and one of the tractor tires went down in a groundhog hole and broke her arm. Just as quick as that. There can be disaster even in doing something as simple as plowing. Well, the applications are pretty easy from this verse. The applications come very easy. Obviously, we need to be looking ahead to Jesus. We understand that He's our goal. He's the mark. Paul writes of this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And again, a very, very familiar passage to us. None of these are different. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And what's the next words? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, isn't that amazing? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah. Read both those verses that we can get the context of how important it is to keep our eyes on Jesus. What's our verse say again from Luke chapter 9? "No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We're to keep our eyes, beloved. We're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, setting our course for Him. Now, we don't understand all that when we first get saved, do we? I mean, I mentioned when I got saved all those years ago, 44 years ago. Isn't that something? Don't you be shaking your head like that, Travis. Wasn't that long ago. No. 44 years ago. And you get saved. I mean, you're just so thankful that to know that you're forgiven, that you've been cleansed of your sin. And I wasn't thinking about all the implications and important things that were involved in the Christian life. And fortunately, along the way, folks teach you and disciple you, and you grow and you learn, don't you? You learn that, hey, if you're gonna, can I say it this way? As they say, I just came from Georgia, so forgive me. They say it this way in Georgia. Got to keep your eyes on Christ if you're going to live successfully for Him. If you're going to have a quote unquote successful Christian life, you must keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Lord Jesus Christ sets a course that brings great pleasure. Him, I mentioned a few moments ago how my father took pleasure. I mean, as a boy, you know, young boy, I just idolized my dad. He would belong to that what they call the great generation. Just died a couple years ago at 94 years old, and he was of that great generation. And I thought he was everything. But I remember watching him as he had come to the end of the field. Been plowing and come to the end of the field, and guess what he'd do? He'd stop the tractor and throw his leg over the side a minute and just look. He took pleasure in doing a good job. He did his best to try to teach his boys that, but he took pleasure in doing a good job. Beloved, when we keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow the course that would be laid out for us in Him, there's great pleasure. We could expand on that so much. There's so great a pleasure in living for God's pleasure. Living for His glory. Now, that's not to say that living for the Lord Jesus Christ is always easy. As I said a little bit ago, plowing's tough work. And if we're going to follow that course that Christ has laid out for us, doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It will be the right course. But there'll be things to negotiate along the way. There'll be obstacles to be dealt with and things that'll come up in life. But as we keep our eyes what? Focused on Him. Focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And follow Him all the way to the end. There will be great pleasure indeed. A life well lived, if I can say it that way, a life well lived in Christ as our goal reaps the prize, does it not? The prize of eternal reward. Paul understood this principle. He wrote to those churches in the area of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Again, note the comparison here. He tells us not to be weary in well-doing, keeping our eyes on the course that Christ has for us, doing right. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap, if we faint not. Yes, Paul understood these principles. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be weary in doing what's right. And when those temptations come along the way, temptation to look back. Oh my, maybe I'm the only one that's ever had this problem, but I think not. Maybe we have all shared at some point along the way where we're tempted to look back. Maybe some of the things from that old life have a little bit of an allure to us yet. The temptation to look back to the old life and the old ways comes. And beloved, we've got to learn to say no. Whatever that temptation might be, whatever shape or form it might assume, we've got to be able to say, no, I'm following Jesus. I'm on the course that He set for me, and there is a right course that He will bless. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Paul challenges to what? To keep our eye on the prize. Paul says in the 13th, 14th verse of Philippians 3, and he explains, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived, Paul says. I know I've not arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The old ways, the old line. What a heritage in the flesh Paul had, didn't he? Oh my. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark. We have a high calling, beloved. A high calling. It's a calling to live for Him. There is no higher calling than to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for His honor. And for His glory. Won't it be great? Won't it be great? And we think of that pleasure. And it should be our prayer that we would bring pleasure to our God, to our Lord. But what a joy it will be one day to have lived well for Christ. And to hear Him say those immortal words. From Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. There, Jesus relating to those servants that had served their Lord well. It says, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Pleasure. It'll be a pleasure to serve such a great God. But secondly, we also see the danger of not keeping our eyes focused on the prize. The danger of taking our eyes off Jesus hurts, I was going to say the work, but it hurts His work when we take our eyes off of Him. There's forgiveness indeed. There's cleansing, but getting off course for Christ can leave consequences, can it not? I'm thankful. Oh my, I don't even want to begin to enumerate the times I've got off course. Lose sight of the prize. I'm so thankful that there's that forgiveness, that cleansing in Christ when we look to Him. But indeed, as in plowing, it is far better to stay on course from the beginning. From the beginning. Oh, how I pray for these young people. I know you moms and dads and grandparents pray for these young people. Sitting around the table at our daughter's house this week and those beautiful grandchildren around the table. And you pray, oh Lord, please. Please keep them on course. Amen. Keep them on course. Because we're all too familiar with the consequences of getting off course, are we not? We want to spare them of that. We want to spare them of those consequences that so often we endure. As in plowing, it is far better to stay on course than to have to make the corrections along the way. And the prophet Hosea speaks to this. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, notice a similar illustration. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. What do we want to sow? We want to sow righteously. Live right for our God. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Notice the next words. Reap in mercy. Hallelujah. That which we sow for God's glory, He'll bless. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. And His next instruction is break up your fallow ground. Oh my. So many lessons in that statement. You know what fallow ground is? It's ground that has never experienced the plow. It's ground that's never been tilled, never been broken up. Oh my, that old farm that my dad had in the hills of Pennsylvania, there was something common in every one of the fields that he had, small or big. There was a rock pile somewhere along the fence line or whatever. My dad would be plowing, and sure enough, the plowshare would turn up some big stone. And he'd climb down off the tractor. And I mean, he's just a little guy, probably about 5'7". And I think they said when he was soaking wet, he might go 125 pounds. I didn't take after my dad. But he'd get a hold of that stone. Sometimes he'd have to get the pry bar and pull it out of there and get it over to the rock pile out of the way. Break up the fallow ground. So many times, beloved, there's things in our life that ought to be dug out. Got to be drug out of the way if we're going to have what? A right course. We're going to have that course that is set for the Lord Jesus Christ and set for His honor and set for His glory. There's some things that have to go. What kind of things? Well, he says what? How are we supposed to sow? Sow in righteousness. I'll make it real simple. I've got to break things down simple. We need to sow right. Sow what is right. And I know we're living in a world that's wanting to change all that there's nothing wrong and there's nothing necessarily right. But that's not the way I read that book. There are some things that are very much right, and there are some things that are very much wrong. Things that are contrary to the Word of God. Huh? Things in my life that are contrary to the Word of God. What am I to do with those things? Dig them out. Get them out of the way. Why? So that I can follow the Lord Jesus Christ unfettered. Lay aside what? Every weight and the sin that does so. Notice, easily beset us. So that we can run that race. Well, the principle applies to plowing too. You get those things out of the way that would hinder the plow. You get those things out of the way in our life that would hinder us living for God's glory. You say, preacher, and there's always those questions come along. Well, what about this? What about that? Is this bad? Is this okay? Well, beloved, if you've got to ask that question, what's the obvious answer? Huh? I doubt that there's a person in this room that does not know what is right and what is wrong. Huh? There's some things that are wrong. And living in any way contrary to this book is what? Wrong. That needs to be removed. It must be removed if we want to please the Lord. If we expect to ever, ever, ever hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
That's right.
Don't tell me. Well, I think this is a gray area. We're the only ones that color gray. Huh? The Lord tells us what's right and wrong. And I'm not permitted to say evil's good and good's evil. guess that was another message in itself, wasn't it? I didn't finish the verse. You need to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Notice the next words. For it is time to seek the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's time to seek the Lord. Well, how long do I have to do this? Well, Hosea tells us, till he come. But it doesn't stop there. I like this. Listen. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Forgive me for going back 60 years again. You know, after my dad's done all the plowing and he's got the soil all ready and he's had the drain grill out of the corn planter and he's got the crop in the ground, he's waiting then. I mean, all those fields, you can't go out there with the hose and water them like you do your garden. He had to wait. He had to wait for God to bring the rains. He had to wait for the Lord to bless with those early and latter rains. And we see that the Bible makes the application for us here as well. Till he come. How long are we to live for him? How long are we to follow him? How long are we to stay true to his course? Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you set forth on that course. That course began. He was pleased then to give to you now forgive me, I'm not trying to be ugly, an undeserving wicked sinner, his righteousness. Poured out his righteousness on you. And along the way in this course that we call the Christian life, we're to continue to do what? Sow righteousness. That means live for him. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, and as it says, till he come, and he rains that righteousness on you. Pours out the blessing, the righteousness of Christ. Makes me think of the book of Revelation. We, there at the in the invitation to the supper with the Lamb. Forgive me for stumbling around. And the Lord's going to provide the garments, is he not? What kind of garments will that be? White, it says. White's a picture of righteousness. There at that marriage supper, the Lamb will be rejoicing, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of the Lamb. Amen. The righteousness of the groom. The righteousness of our Savior. Yes, beloved. We need to stay the course, don't we? Because looking back can bring disaster. Looking back can bring disaster. And when once we've been saved and we begin that new course for Christ, it's dangerous to look back on that old life. Don't scoff at those words, please. Some might make light of that. Oh, what's the difference? I'm saved. Some would trumpet, I'm saved forever. I've been saved by grace. Well, hallelujah, I'm with you. But I don't flaunt his grace. I don't take his grace for granted. Don't look back to the old life. Remember, beloved, Lot's wife looked back. It certainly ended in disaster for her. She was warned, was she not? Amen. Lot and his wife and daughters were warned, don't look back. But what'd she do? She looked back to that home in Sodom. Maybe look back to those they left behind. And then ended in disaster. Ended in disaster for her. Well, how do we sum it all up? Are you looking forward or are you looking back? If you're saved, I trust you're looking forward. If you're saved, I trust and pray that you'll not be tempted to look back. Don't look back with that alluring, wondering, or wandering eye to the things you left behind. What are they in light of what is before us? What is all that was of that old life in comparison to what Christ has for us? The rags of the old life or the garments of glory? Don't look back. Again, throughout this year, we've tried to emphasize following Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him. We come here to this last Sunday, and next Sunday we'll be introducing a new thing for 2019. You'll have to wait and see. But the truth, the principle of following Jesus never ends. The importance of keeping our eye on Christ won't end at midnight on the 31st. Oh God, please, let us continue to seek the Lord. What? Till He come. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You this morning, and Lord, I thank You for Jesus. Thank You for His love for us. I want to thank You for the blood of Calvary's cross. I want to thank You for new life in Him. Lord, for the lessons, the challenges of Your Word. Oh my, how we can learn even from a farmer. Oh Lord, I pray. Pray for this preacher. I pray for every individual in this room. Lord, please help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank You, Father, for Him that sets that clear goal for us. And as we keep our attention upon Him, that indeed we can live a life sown in righteousness and reap in mercy. Lord, I pray this day for anyone in this room that might yet be without Christ. Well, please, I pray that today, maybe even this moment, might be that moment in time where You draw them savingly, beautifully, gloriously to Yourself. They might begin that course of living for Jesus. Well, we love You. Please have Your way in this time. For it's in Christ's name and for Christ's glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 160.
Page 160. Please, as we sing, don't focus so much on the song that we forget what God might be saying to us. Of course, as always, these altars are open for you. Whatever the need might be, whatever God might be dealing with, please, don't resist Him. Obey Him. Obey Him, whatever He be saying to you to do. As we sing, obey the Lord.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his full face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I love that song. We sing it often at invitation time, but its message is very clear, isn't it? Very obvious. When Jesus has saved us, everything becomes new, does it not?
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The things of this old world just don't have the same shine. Just don't have that same glitter that they once held for us. Grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Oh my, the Lord speak to our hearts today. Again, we'll beginning a new year in just a couple days. Now, I don't know what the new year will bring for us as a church or bring for us as individuals. But I know this, if we set our course for Jesus, he'll bless. He'll use us for his glory. But oh my, that our course will be set for him. For him. We'll sing one more verse and we'll be done.
O soul, are you weary and troubled?
God,
no light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at
yes,
the Savior,
amen.
And life more abundant and free.
Yes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Can someone from the foyer give me a word on Alan? Brother Jacob, can you hear me? Okay, they have taken him to the hospital. Okay, please be in prayer for Alan Webster, and we'll try to get a further word on him. Amen. What are you going to do right now? We're going to pray, and we're going to the gym. There's no use of going home and cooking lunch. No use of going to the restaurant when they got all that brisket back there. Huh? And all that good stuff. So let's go eat. Brother, what's your name? John. You know what his job is to lead us in our chorus and to pray for the Lord's blessing on our lunch. Brother John.
Let's sing first, then we'll pray. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,